sky lit overhead with a few thrown bolts of light. I thought you would... I couldn't bring myself to say it. My heartbeat slowed, but each pounding beat felt thick and heavy.
Whatever you thought, I am here now. I'm losing patience, Dante. Come.
My sword dipped the rest of the way. The blue fire along its edges went out. The sudden darkness stung my eyes. Even the wrist cuff had gone dark, and that was some comfort. It had been warning me of other danger, not of Jaframel. My hands shook.
You promised not to doubt me. There are unpleasant consequences to breaking a promise to me.
Oh, what the bloody fucking hell are you talking about? I have just had one fuck of a bad week, and I'm a little twitchy, so just give me a minute. I am so fucking frightened right now, I don't care who comes for me, I'll kill them.
I bit the words back. I settled for this instead.
Why didn't you tell me you were gonna do that, huh? Why didn't you tell me?
There are more pleasant ways to pass our time than this.
He took a single step forward, the power cloaking him pressing against me.
I returned as quickly as I could. You bear my mark. I am still yours.
My brain struggled with this, chewed it, and spat it back out.
You're a demon again. What happens now? What are you going to do to me?
He took another step.
I am a non-Kimmel, but given back my power as a demon. I believe the term the prince used is abomination. And if you do not come with me now, I will force you, and that will be unpleasant for both of us.
I dug my heels in against the pressure to do as he said. It was harder to resist than Lucifer's chill weight of command.
Is it because Jaff has so much more power now, or because his mark is burned into my skin?
Don't. Just give me a minute, okay? And tell me why. That's all I'm asking. That's reasonable, Jaframel. It really is. Just fucking tell me. I need to know.
He studied me for a moment. My sword hung to one side loosely, and I was sure he could see me shaking like a chill freak. I calmed down a little more, but not nearly fast enough.
All things considered, I think I am handling this very well.
I took a risk, my curious. I thought it likely Lucifer needed us far more badly than he would admit. I could not warn you. He is far better at reading you than you may comprehend. Your reaction convinced him he could drive a wedge between us, cause trouble. Perhaps he was right. I am sorry.
I measured his face. He let me. The mark still burned against my shoulder, waves of power teasing at my skin, sinking in, caressing, cajoling.
You promised to trust me and not to doubt me.
I didn't need the reminder. I set my back teeth, then slowly, slowly sheathed my sword.
I know. You have exactly 10 seconds to explain what the fucking hell just happened. Slowly, in great detail.
It will take slightly longer.
Yeah? I've got time. Lead on, Lord Demon.
Is it my imagination, or did he just flinch?
He stepped forward deliberately and approached me. I didn't move, just shut my eyes. I kept breathing. When his hands met my shoulders, I sagged, and he pulled me forward into the shelter of his body.
Do not, Hedera. What I have done to protect you. Have faith in me. Just a very little. That is all I ask.
I do. I knew you'd come.
His arms tightened briefly. He kissed the top of my head, and some of the skittering panic rabbiting under my heartbeat eased.
We must go. It is not safe for you here.
Funny. This seems like the safest place in the world to be.
But I said nothing. Just set my jaw and stepped away when he reluctantly let go of me. Being a demon and having the resources of Hellesfront, the deep wide net of agents and financial assets Lucifer had created on Earth, Jaframel had a suite in a high-rise hotel in the Novo Mesta. The hotel was a pile of glittering plasteel and plasglass, soaring above the streets. Here in the Novo Mesta, hover limos drifted under steely orange clouds, and the buildings were clean and high, like the financial district of Saint City. It was in the storeroom, Esther, that the trash piled up and the bordellos rollicked all night. That would have been the part of town I was more comfortable in. This just felt too exposed. Of course, my nerves were so jagged I would have felt naked anywhere. I had to swallow harshly when Jaframel stopped in the lobby, half turning to consider me with those new, awful, glowing green chips of eyes.
Are you able to take the elevator?
I'm fine. You know, you still haven't explained a damn thing.
But that's okay. I'm not in a mood to listen anyway. I need to fight someone, anyone. But if I start now, I'll go crazy and won't stop until someone's dead. Or sex. That would be good, too. Come on, sunshine. Take a deep breath. Calm the fuck down.
It was impossible. I wasn't going to be calm anytime soon.
Patience, my curious one.
One of the elevators opened as we approached. It was empty. It stayed open, and Jaframel stepped inside.
No. Please, no.
I couldn't back down. I had promised. I'd said it was fine. Backing down now would be weak. So I stepped into the elevator and fought down the hot sourness that rose in my throat as the doors slid closed. All the air seemed to vanish. I couldn't close my eyes to shut out the terrible feeling, so I stared at Jaframel's feet, pressure building behind my eyes.
Jaff.
Yes?
Could you... Is it possible for you to turn me back into a human?
Would you want to?
Is that hurt in his voice? Wonders never cease.
Will you just tell me? I need to know.
Have to know. Sekhmet Sias, you're a demon again with all a demon's power. Does he still want me? It's not that he's back to his old self. It's that I have no control. He could make me do whatever he wants. He could do anything he liked to me, and I wouldn't be able to stop him. That scares the hell out of me. How am I supposed to deal with that?
Even if I wanted to, I could not grant you mere humanity again.
His tone was so chill, the air cooled a perceptible 5 degrees.
The changes have settled in, and you would not survive such a thing. You will not escape me that easily.
You know, I would have settled for a simple yes or no, Jaff.
My shoulders hunched with tension. The air inside the elevator was beginning to run out. Precious little oxygen left.
I need to breathe. I have to breathe.
My throat began to close. My hand cramped on my sword hilt.
Anubis Eterka. Setahuk Vet Sate Vapukorav.
A blue glow rose with it inside my mind. My god had never denied me comfort, even before I'd passed through my trial to become an accredited necromancer. That, of course, reminded me of my altar and the shape of fire behind Anubis as he laid the Gesh upon me. I had studied Gesh in theory of spirituality classes, the gods asking of a specific service. They were rare, even among necromancers. I tried to remember what the gods had asked of me. Couldn't. I just had to wait. But the thought of that waiting didn't fill me with terror. I didn't think my god would ask me for anything I couldn't do. I bolted from the close confines, searching for a wall to put my back to. Jaframel stepped out and waited. He knew better than to touch me, but his aura did what he refrained from, wrapping around mine in an almost physical caress. When I looked up and nodded, he led me down a quiet, red-carpeted hall and opened a pair of double doors. The suite was done in gold and cream, and a large mirror hung over the Nivrin fireplace, which was cold and empty except for a fire screen decorated with peacocks. Suddenly, I realized I wasn't alone in the room with Jaframel. I caught a confused sense of movement and threw myself away, my back meeting the wall. Lucas Villalobos looked over from where he leaned against the mantel, his lank hair lying slick against his forehead.
Relax, chica. You're amongst friends.
He was grinning like a maniac. Friends? If these are friends, I'll take my enemies.
Oh, I didn't mean that. My mouth just bolts like a runaway hover. Since when did he start finding me so fucking funny?
4 other men and a woman watched me. A shaman, a magi, a nichtvren, and 2 men without the glow of scions.
But they're not normals either. And they aren't Werkane or Kobold or Swanhild or Nichtvren.
Danny Valentine. Meet everyone. Everyone, Danny Valentine.
The Nichtfriend rose. He was a tall male with a shock of dirty blonde hair and the face of a Holovid angel. His eyes curiously flat with the cat sheen of his night hunting species. Below the shine, they were a pale blue. He wore dusty black, a V-neck sweater, and loose workman's pants. His feet closed in scarred and cracked boots. I had only seen this kind of power once before in a Nichtfriend. A heavy, blurring onslaught of a creature built to be both a psychic and physical predator. He felt like Nikolai, the prime of Saint City.
Tianz.
What?
I am Tianz.
He smiled broadly, showing white teeth, fangs retracted to look like ordinary canines.
No wonder he'd been turned. Nichtfriend are suckers for physical beauty. I guess immortality is easier when you can collect pretty toys.
At your service, Bella Morte?
Uh-huh. Nice to meet you, too. Look, I don't mean to...
I'm Bella Thornton.
The female was a shaman. Her tat, a curved, symmetrical, thorn-laden cruciform. It shifted, stabbing her cheek. She had wide, dark eyes and a triangular neo-neo-punk haircut, her bangs falling in her face. Her rig was light, only carrying four knives and a scimitar. The sword lay across her lap in a beautifully made leather scabbard, not reinforced by the look of it. I would have bet hard credit the steel inside was only decorative.
I worked for Trinity Corp. I seem to remember you cracked us once.
Might have been me.
Yeah, it was me.
I used to do corporate espionage with Jace. I'd done Trinity a few times. I hear Trinity had the best shields in the biz while you were there. That was a lie. I'd been before her time. She couldn't be more than 20, so unless she was working as an intern there, I wouldn't have cracked her shields. She preened a little under the compliment and jerked her chin toward the Magi, a thin, intense-looking young Asian O-man whose muddy hazel eyes sharpened as he took me in.
Agami, my partner. He doesn't talk much.
The Magi's tattoo was a Krupsev, bearing the trademark swirls. He carried a long sword, and from the way his hand rested on the plain functional hilt, I thought maybe he knew how to use it.
This is absurd.
Pleasure. Outside, the rain began in earnest, driven by a restless wind. A harsh spear of lightning flashed in the distance. The other two, both spare, rangy men, watched me.
Hellesfront agents, Van and McKinley.
Van was brown, from his chestnut hair to his rich warm eyes and tanned skin. He even wore brown, a fringed leather jacket and tough construction worker's pants, a pair of supple, soft moccasins. That was a surprise. Most people I met in my line of work wore boots, especially if they were, like him, armed to the teeth. Knives, guns, plas guns, spin claws. Even the butt of a plas rifle stood up over his right shoulder. I was surprised he didn't jingle when he shifted his weight, his eyes meeting mine and flicking away.
Hey.
Hey.
I've had a hell of a night. Two demons and a goddamn elevator. Now I'm supposed to be polite?
McKinley, on the other hand, was dark. Glossy crow's wing hair, dark eloquent eyes, pale skin, and unrelieved plain black clothing. Only two knives I could see. The only color on him was the sparkle of a strange kind of metallic coating on his left hand. He stared at me for a few moments, then lifted himself from the couch. He moved like oil. I set my back against the wall and returned his stare, the back of my neck prickling. He approached me, slowly, one step at a time. When he was almost past Jaframel, my sword leapt up from the scabbard. 4 inches of bright steel peeked out.
I don't know who the hell you are, and the way you move makes me uneasy. If you come near me, I'm not going to be able to stop myself. I am not safe right now, kiddo. Not safe at all.
Don't come any closer. McKinley studied me for a long moment. His eyes flicked down to my left wrist. He glanced at Jaframel, whose eyes had never left my face. When Jaframel didn't move, the pale man nodded.
Impressive.
Glad you approve. Lucas heaved himself up from beside the fireplace.
I'm going to bed. Good night, kids.
Lucas, for a moment, I actually considered appealing to him for help. Then I regained my senses. What the hell is going on?
Isn't it obvious? Your green-eyed boyfriend made good on your promises. Consider me paid and on the job. Night.
Tomorrow.
They took this like a prearranged signal. They filed past me to the door, while Lucas slid into another room, shutting the door and immediately almost vanishing, even to my senses. McKinley edged past me, gave me a long look before stepping through the doors. Jaframel stayed where he was, watched me. I was beginning to feel a little silly pressed against the wall. I'm still waiting for that explanation.
What did you pay Lucas? How did you find him?
And yet, here you are.
His eyes traveled down me. My entire body ached with unspent tension under that caress. Sparks popped from my rings. His eyes sharpened, and he looked straight through me.
I came out of hell to find our home burning and my Hedera vanished. The smell of a scavenger overlaid your trail, and when I tried to locate you, I felt resistance. I thought you taken, or tortured, or too weak to respond. Do you know what it is like to search for you, thinking you taken or worse?
A swift, brutal expression crossed his face. It surprised me. I jammed my sword back home in the sheath.
So what? Were you hoping another demon would find me before you did? Wow, it sounded funny inside my head, but not so funny now, hanging in the air between us.
Jaframel took a single step toward me, his eyes burning. The air turned hot and tense. I considered slipping my sword free again.
Go ahead. Draw, if it will please you.
I don't draw without reason.
So help me, I am so close to the edge now. Don't push me.
Just fucking give me a few minutes, Jaff.
You're angry.
Of course I'm fucking angry. My voice hadn't sounded like that since my first social worker had died, knifed by a chill freak for an antique watch and a pair of sneakers. You pulled one hell of a bait and switch on me, and I just got chased and—
I did what was necessary. You keep your precious scruples because I did so.
I can't believe this. I am so happy to see him, and yet I'm shaking with the urge to punch him.
I couldn't have hit him anyway. He was too fast. My precious scruples worked for you once. I finished dealing with Lucifer. And if I hadn't burned my house down, you'd still be a pile of ash. Right? He shrugged.
I would have come back to you one way or another. You know this.
Why are my eyes watering?
The anger went out of me. I could almost feel it go with a helpless snap. There are some things even I can't fight, and I was being ridiculous.
No sleep, no food, and being chased by demons is not guaranteed to leave me in a good mood. But he doesn't deserve the sharp edge of my temper.
My muscles began to ache, a sure sign I was coming down from the raw edge of homicidal fury. I'm just... Gods, I could have done without this, you know. I really could have done without this, that's all. Can you just... I don't know. Give me a little credit for not being mad at you, but at the goddamn motherfucking situation Lucifer's trapped me in?
Dante.
He took another step, approaching me cautiously. I glanced past him, toward the window running with rainwater. Reinforced plasglass.
I'd be able to leap, but I don't know what the fall would do to me.
The thought flashed through my head and was gone in less than a second.
I am sorry.
Me too.
I am sorry if you ever thought I could abandon you. Do you think I am human? Do you think I would throw away hell for you, then tire of your company?
For the sake of every god that ever was, I am trying to be conciliatory for once in my goddamn life. Will you just quit it?
Well, you got hell back, didn't you? Jaframel tipped his head back, closing his eyes. It took a few moments before I realized his jaw was working as his fury circled the room like a shark, looking for an outlet. It took about 30 seconds for his hold on his temper to come back. I had never seen this level of frustration in him.
Were I to go back to hell, I would be shunned. I am Abomination, an Inanchimel who has bargained with Lucifer for a demon's power. Every moment I spent there would punish me even more thoroughly. I have removed myself irrevocably from hell, and I have done it for an ungrateful, spiteful child.
I'm trying to be nice to you! Why won't you tell me these things?
Guilt twisted my heart as if a hand had reached into my chest and squeezed. My hands were back to shaking. Good for you. Do you want a cookie or a pat on your whittled demon head? He shook his head, as if beyond words. I recognized the gesture. Jace used to make one like it when he'd reached the point of speechless rage during an argument with me. I could see the power dyeing the air around him with black flame.
Punish me with sharp words if you like. Your time would be better spent laying plans. There is a demon to this city, one who thinks it would be tactically sound to kill Lucifer's new right hand before she can capture him.
Great. Another thing that's my fault.
Come on. Lose your temper, Jaff. I know you want to.
I could hardly breathe, both from the weight of power in the air and my own self-loathing. But I did feel strangely satisfied, as if by pushing him into losing his temper, I could regain a little control over the situation.
God above, I need a little control.
Not your fault. Mine. I was frantic and too conspicuous in my search for you.
The admission took any remaining anger and drowned it. I slumped against the wall, my hand dropping away from my sword hilt. The wrist cuff on my left arm warmed abruptly.
Lovely. More people who want to kill me.
I'm sorry, Jaff. I know I'm not a nice person.
Is it any consolation that they are not people?
I sagged against the wall, my legs refusing to quite hold me up. I knew that tone in his voice. Knew it all the way through my veins. The most human of his voices.
Why were you so frantic?
You are not stupid, Dante. Why do you ask?
Because I need to hear you say it. Long pause. Moments ticked off in silence.
The window's starting to look pretty good, rain or no rain. If you decide to throw yourself through it, just hypothetically, of course, how would you break the glass? And the fall, will it kill you? Can you lay the odds on that? I give you 3-to-1 chances. You are pretty tough these days. You fought off an imp, didn't you?
One lousy little low-flight imp.
I was afraid for you.
Jaframel turned on his heel, stalked away from me toward the wall of plasglass, trailing a streak of bright crimson across the air. He stopped, staring down at the lights of New Prague's Novo Mesta underfoot.
You were afraid?
Yes.
Sekhmet-Sias, I can't believe I... Jaframel, look, I'm sorry. I'm just... This just...
Not necessary, Hedera.
It is. I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry. I didn't know what to do, and I'm scared. You should have told me something. You should have...
Stop.
He rounded on me, his fists clenched. His eyes blazed.
Do you seek to drive me into a rage? You are safe. You are whole, well and good. You are angry that I used the prince to gain a measure of safety for you. You are angry at me because I fell. You hate me more than you can admit because I cannot be human, well and good. But do not taunt me.
He thinks I hate him? How could he think I hate him? Where the hell did that come from?
I don't hate you. That's been the motherfucking problem ever since I met you, hasn't it? I can't hate you. I keep treating you like you're human.
As usual, when an uncomfortable truth is spoken, it hung reverberating in the air, unwilling to die. I shouldn't have said that.
I should not have said that either.
He was very close. His breath brushed my cheek. The velvet wash of his aura slid down mine, enfolded me. Then, slowly, he reached up, his fingers wrapping around mine where they rested against the sword hilt. I didn't look up. I closed my eyes, the last few ounces of resistance leaving me. The touch of his skin on mine sent heat down my spine, wrapped me in comfort. I was acutely aware that I hadn't really slept, that my body trembled on the edge of deep shock.
Please, Javermel, help me. I can't do this on my own.
You will do yourself damage if you do not cease your struggling.
Jav, I leaned into him, and his free hand slid up my right arm and around my shoulders. I rested my forehead on his chest, the terrible aching under my ribs easing.
What, my curious?
What demon was it? Back there? Which one?
Later.
He kissed my cheek, then my mouth. I melted into him. Relief cascaded through me. He would make it stop. The jittering in my hands, the helpless rapid pounding of my heart, the sour taste of terror. When he led me into the bedroom, I didn't protest. He didn't let me tell him what had happened until we lay tangled against each other in a hotel bed, my leg over his hip, his fingers in my hair, his mouth against my forehead. I told him the entire story, pausing occasionally while he lifted sweat-damp strands of my hair and combed them with his fingers. Softness draped against my hip, my back. His wing closed protectively over me. I finally felt as if I'd survived. Javermel turned slowly to stone as I explained about the reactive fire and the cracking of the house shield, and I could feel a fine humming tension in him when I told him about the hover train. He listened thoughtfully to the story about the reactive and the imp. His wing tightened, lying along my skin like a sheath around a knife. He in turn told me of descending into hell, and of Lucifer's granting of his request only in the briefest of terms. He had come back to collect me and explain, found the house burning and the hover limo that had carried me part of the wreckage, an imp's trail mixed with mine. He had traced me to the hover train, taken one himself, lost my trail and caught it again, and arrived in New Prague shortly after the other hover train, the one with the huge hole torn in its back, had been remarked, but before I rode into town. Hellesfront had been alerted, the two agents sent and set to finding a magi worth the trouble of recruiting. Javermel started combing the city for me, and when Lucas Villalobos had started making inquiries, Javermel had gone to meet him personally, heard of the bargain I'd made, and had come to bring me in. They found the door to Lucas's sanctum hacked open, but no sign of a demon. The hidden escape hatch hadn't been found. It looked like an imp just came in, found I wasn't there, and left to go topside to track me. From there, it was a race to get to the end of the tunnel I'd slipped and slithered through. Then my flare of power had brought all sorts of fun to the table.
Do you know who it was? Which demon, I mean? Either of them?
I am not sure. He fled as soon as I arrived. I was too busy weeding through the human shields to find you.
Human shields?
And a few imps. They may have been mercenaries to buy him time to escape, or to overwhelm a tired Hedera. I do not know. I left none alive. Enough of that. We have other matters to attend to.
Why not let Lucifer drown in his own stew?
We've made...
I know. We've made a bargain.
Sleep, my curious.
He pressed a soft kiss onto my forehead.
You attract far too much trouble for my comfort.
Would have been more trouble if not for the bracelet.
The bracelet.
I wondered if I'd violated another arcane demonic protocol. I forced one eye open to see him examining my face. His eyes, two chips of light in the darkness of the hotel room.
It was in the hover. I thought it was you.
I wriggled a little to free my left arm from under me, bent my elbow and lifted the wrist cuff to his examination. Javermel touched it with one golden finger, his eyes luminous in the dimness.
Oh, I see. So...
So what?
It was warm and quiet under his wing.
Tomorrow is soon enough to begin. Sleep.
But what is this thing if you didn't give it to me?
I suspect it is Lucifer's comment on you, Dante. Sleep.
When I woke, the bed was empty. Weak, rainy sunlight fell in through the windows, outlining Jaframel as he stood, hands clasped behind his back, looking out onto the Freetown. As if he felt my gaze, he turned away from the window. I felt the humming in the walls. He'd shielded this room so well it was almost invisible. His eyes scorched green in the gray light. His face was just the same otherwise. Morning.
More like afternoon. How do you feel?
Not too bad. I was lying. You? He shrugged. An evocative movement. We both studied each other. Finally, I patted the bed next to me. Come on, sit down. He dropped down. I touched his shoulder through the coat, rubbed my palm over the velvet over iron, trailed my fingers up the back of his neck, slid them through his hair, touched his face. He closed his eyes, leaned into my fingers. I brushed his shadowed cheek, smoothing away the wetness.
I didn't know demons could produce tears.
I touched his cheekbone, teased at his lips with a fingertip until the bitter little grimace went away, his eyes half closed, burning against their lids.
What does that feel like to you?
There it was. That slight, tender half-smile he used just for me.
It's quite pleasant.
How pleasant?
Pleasant enough, Hidera.
His aura enfolded mine, stroked up my back as I soothed him.
Jaframel.
Dante.
He leaned slightly into my fingers, a small movement that managed to make my heart, trapped in my throat, leap.
Why did you ask Lucifer to give you back a demon's power?
His expression didn't alter.
It was too good an opportunity to miss. I am not some faithless human, Dante. I fell. I am fallen. And my fate is bound to yours. It disturbs me that you forget it.
If you just talk to me about this, I wouldn't get so tangled up. Is that so much to ask?
You promised not to doubt me.
That's beside the goddamn point. It's because I trust you that I'm asking you this.
If you'd tell me what's happening when people are trying to kill me, I'd have an easier time. You just spun a complete 180 on me in front of Lucifer. How was I supposed to feel?
You had to appear shocked. It was necessary.
God, Jaframel. Don't ever do that to me again.
Can you not simply trust in me?
I never thought I would live to hear a demon plead. A new experience to add to all the other new experiences. They were coming thick and fast these days. I tried another tack.
Listen. You know everything about me, but you won't tell me a single thing about what you've made me, or about this whole situation. I do trust you. I trust you more than I've trusted anyone else in my whole life, but you've got to help me out here.
His mouth turned down at the corners, almost bitterly. If I had to guess at the expression on his face, I would have called it frustration.
Why can't he understand something so eminently reasonable?
Let's bargain. I'll do whatever you think's best if you promise to talk to me. Don't spring things like that on me. Deal?
I cannot, Dante.
He sounds sad. Another first.
There are things you must let me do. One of them is act for your safety.
How is asking Lucifer to turn you into a demon again safe for me? How is any of this safe for me?
I am not demon, Dante. I am Anun Kimel, a fallen with a demon's power. There is a difference.
God, I'm warning you, Tears Jaframel. You pull another one of those and I'll...
I wasn't used to speechlessness. What can I do to him? A tremor slid through him, shocking in someone so controlled.
Fearing for your life is punishment enough, Hidera.
I decided to let it rest and touched his collarbone through the coat.
I suppose you hired all those people?
Hellasfront, if we are hunting demons, it makes sense to use the resources available. There will be more if we need them.
He looked like he wanted to say more. I waited, but nothing came out. I ruffled his hair affectionately. He smiled again. An unwilling smile touched my own mouth.
I don't work well in groups, Jaframel.
Neither do I, my sweetness. Neither do I.
I let it go then.
He's never called me that before.
You're kidding. This is all?
All we really need. Just the name glyphs for three of them.
Oh, Sekhmet Sias. What good is that? How are we supposed to track down demons with only three runes? Not even their complete names, just the demon version of nicknames, shorthand.
Demons kept their true names a closely guarded secret, which is the reason for all those stories of a quick-thinking Magi solitary using a name to stop a demon.
I've always suspected those stories aren't anywhere close to the truth. I have difficulty believing a simple word will stop a demon, and I'm a Magi-trained scion. I work my magic by enforcing my will on the world through words and will, so I, of all people, have a healthy respect for the magic of names. But still, demons. If you can't kill it with cold steel, hot lead, or a plasgum, I have a little difficulty believing a simple name spoken by anyone will stop it.
Of course. I never wanted to put it to the test, either. It was one of those questions I could go my whole life without answering definitively. Funny how the older I got, the more of those I had.
We know how to deal with demons, ma'am. We have a Magi. Give Agami the glyphs, let him work.
I threw up my hands.
Great, just great. Have I mentioned yet how useless this is?
Many times, pointlessly, at great length. Shut up.
He was probably the only person on Earth other than Gabe who could have gotten away with that. If only because I had a healthy respect for him. I might not fear him as much as I had when I was human, but a man who couldn't die was a bad enemy to make. Lucas had a reputation for professionalism. If he told me to shut up, it was because I was being ridiculous. Lucas looked over some mage scans of New Prague. There were a couple of places with enough interference to hide a demon, mostly in the Staru Mesta. Van handed the file folders over to the Asianel, who gave me a long, dubious look and retreated to a chair next to the fireplace. Jaframel stood where he had for the last hour, in front of the rain-spotted window, his hands clasped behind his back. He seemed to be ignoring the rest of us, uninterested in events. The storm had blown itself out, and the rain was dying in fitful gasps. I poured myself another cup of coffee. The Nichtfren had gone to ground and wouldn't be up until nightfall.
Hell, I didn't want to be up until nightfall.
35 years of being a nightwalking necromance was a hard habit to break, even after years as a Hedera and only needing sleep every third day or so. My body clock was all shot to hell. I didn't like it. The only other non-human agent, McKinley, was gone on some errand for Jaframel. The two of them freaked me out. Not human, but no other species of paranormal I'd ever seen before either.
They don't even smell human, which irritates me on a very basic level. They smell like burning cinnamon and a faint tang of demon. And McKinley is seriously creepy.
It was true. He rubbed me the wrong way. And the rest of them were getting on my nerves, too. I was still scrubbed too raw, all hyped up on adrenaline with nowhere to go. Sex had taken the edge off, true, but I was still twitchy.
Is there a sparring room in this pile?
Silence met my words. Jaframel turned away from the window.
You need combat?
I think I'd best get out of the way. The only demon I hunted down was Santino, and I already had his trail from Abra. Until we get a direction to go in, I'm just gonna fret and pull my hair out. Besides, I think better when I'm moving. Sparring qualifies as moving.
Bella glanced at me, her eyes widening. Then she cast a look at Van, who shook his head slightly, as if cautioning her to keep her mouth shut. That irritated me far more than it should.
There's a spar hall near here. You can find something there. Lot of bounty action, scions. Rent's reasonable, 10 new creds an hour.
Thank the gods. Which way?
Due west. Grey building on the Prikopi. Can't miss it. Got a cage hanging from the side.
Lucas then appeared to forget all about me, studying a map of New Prague. Van's sad brown eyes flicked from me to Jaframel and back again. Jaframel's face didn't change.
I will accompany you. It is not perhaps quite safe for you to go alone.
Oh yeah, like I'm stupid enough to want to wander around alone with demons out looking to kill me.
Sounds good. Let me get my bag.
I headed for the room I'd slept in last night.
My lord, does she intend to continue?
Jaffra Mel said nothing. I ducked inside the room, grabbed my bag and Jace's coat, and made it out just in time to see Jaffra Mel shake his head.
No, I will not.
I get the feeling I've missed something.
But she...
Van flinched as Jaffra Mel's eyes rested on him.
Forgive me, my lord.
Jaffra Mel nodded.
Be at peace, Van. There is nothing to fear.
Ogami, his eyes wide, stared from his chair. I caught him examining me as if I was a new and interesting type of bug.
What's up?
Lucas was apparently absorbed in the maps, as if he wasn't listening.
I don't believe it for a goddamn minute. I think you and I are gonna have a little chat, Villalobos.
Nothing. Van thinks I am too forgiving of your disobedience.
I looked at the brown man. I could almost feel one of my eyebrows quirk.
Well, time to get everyone on the same page about Danny Valentine.
Really? Let me clear everything up right now, then. I don't obey. I haven't since primary school.
For a moment, my skin roughened, remembering Rigor Hall. The phantom scars across my back didn't burn, and I was grateful for that. Maybe I was starting to heal. Maybe.
I'm generally reasonable when I'm asked instead of told what to do, but let's just get this straight. I don't take orders well. You got a problem with that?
Van's brown eyes widened as if I'd called his mother something unspeakable.
No, ma'am.
His gaze flickered over to Jaffra Mel, who merely looked bored and ever so slightly amused.
Good. I'm going to go and get my head cleared out. When I come back, we'll try this again.
Outside the room, I stalked for the elevator.
I have the odd feeling someone isn't telling me something. No, I'm getting paranoid. Then again, paranoid will help keep me one step ahead of the game, won't it? Paranoid means careful, and careful is good.
I jabbed at the button for the elevator. Jaffra Mel moved closer. I sensed static in the air as his aura covered mine again briefly. A caress. The mark on my shoulder burned. A soft velvet flame. I stepped in, familiar nausea rising. Jaffra Mel followed me. He curled his hand around my shoulder.
Easy, Dante. There is enough air.
Says you.
I couldn't spare the breath to say it out loud. There was never enough air in small places. It was like some sort of thermodynamic law.
Small place plus no windows equals no goddamn air equals me gasping in panic. What a blow to my tough girl image.
I wish I could go slickboarding.
That would work all my fidgets out.
Do you truly wish that?
It's okay. I know you don't like that. I was just talking.
Just shooting my mouth off to keep from screaming, that's all.
If it would please you, I would learn to live with it.
He leaned in close and examined my face. His fingers hard and warm against the back of my neck. His eyes glittered green, casting shadows under his cheekbones and drowning me in emerald light. I had always tried to avoid looking him in the eye before, when he'd been a demon instead of fallen.
Too dangerous.
I bolted out of the cage and away from his eyes. I stalked through the hotel lobby, ignoring the normals, guests and employees, scattering out of my path. Jaffra Mel fell into step behind me, close as my shadow, just as he had since he'd met me.
You're running away.
I am not going to dignify the obvious with a response.
I gave the door a push and stepped out, blinking into the pale, watery sunlight. Cracked pavement and a crowd of normals greeted me. I glanced up to get my bearings and turned to my left, heading generally westward and lengthening my stride. New Prague is old, having been settled well before the American era. The buildings are an odd mix of new plasteel and old concrete, as well as some biscuit-colored stone. The shape of the buildings is different from St. City's. echoing a time before hovers and plasteel, a time before accredited scions, even though Prague had been a town known for its magi and Judic Kabbalisticon scholars. It is also a town full of history. Here was where Kachba Bar Gilead's last Judic followers had been killed by laser rifle fire in the overture to the 70 Days War, and where Skinlan had first learned the process of creating golemi, the semi-sentient mud things that were a dirt witch's worst weapon. I stalked along the sidewalk, one little corner of my mind focused on tagging the people around me, cataloging their various levels of dangerousness. There weren't a lot of scions out on the streets. Of course, it was during the day. Hard to find a scion in the morning, unless you spot one heading home to bed. We reached the Spar Hall, a large gray building due west of the hotel with the universal signs of violence in training. Mage scan and deep combat shielding, a twisted sparring cage dangling from a hook bolted into the side of the building high enough that slickboarders could tag it and make it rock. Slickboards racked along the front of the building, and the blue psychic haze of adrenaline and controlled bloodlust waving like anemones in the air.
Oh yes, this is what I want. Effort. Maybe enough to sweat. A few blessed seconds where I won't have to think, only move. No memory of the past, no thought for the future, only the endless now.
Javramel said nothing as I stepped inside, but his golden hand came over my shoulder and held the door open for me. I tapped my sword hilt with my fingernails and met the wide blue eyes of a ceremonial behind the front desk. Her tat curved back on itself. She wore a rig with more knives than I'd ever seen before. Propped next to her against the desk was a machete with a plain, functional, leather-wrapped hilt. I measured her, she measured me, and her hand leapt for her blade.
Whoa!
I lifted my hands.
I'm here to hire, not drag anyone in.
I didn't blame her one bit. I was popping with almost visible, twitchy, laze-trigger anger. And I looked like perhaps I was a demon. Not to mention the fact that I was being followed by a very tall, definitely demon. Her hand paused. I felt Jaframel's attention behind me, drew myself up and leaned back into him. He was wound just tight enough to go for her if she twitched. I wasn't sure I could stop him if he started, but keeping myself in between them seemed like a really good idea. I'd never seen him in this mood before. I heard the faint sounds of the spar hall behind sound muffling. The ceremonial eyed me.
Mohu vam pomochi?
Oh, damn. She doesn't speak American?
Oni nutne potrebovat porvatsi.
I am really going to have to learn a few new languages.
I caught a flicker of motion. A roll of new credit notes landed on her desk.
Nezni dentimolbish dozni vat zahadni.
I felt the air pressure change, and knew without looking back that he now wore a small, chilling little smile. I'd seen that smile before, and I hoped my reaction was less visible than hers. She paled, the inked lines of her tattoo suddenly glaring on her cheek. Her aura flared with fear, the air full of the rough chemical tang of it. The smell was pleasant. She reached slowly for a comm unit on the desk.
Zastavit nadzienu kroków!
I restrained the urge to look back at Jaframel. Instead, watched the ceremonial's right hand as it hovered near the hilt of her machete. Then she relaxed a bit, scooping up the roll of notes and riffling through them. She glanced up at Jaframel, jerked her chin up fractionally at me, and rose. She picked up her machete, carefully keeping her fingers away from the hilt.
Promintje, promintje.
She backed away to put her shoulders against the wall.
I don't blame her one bit. I've had that reaction before, too.
We may go in.
You're making friends all over, aren't you?
It must be my personality.
I went past the desk to a pair of heavy air seal doors, pushed at them. They opened easily. The whoosh of air seals and the chill of a sparring room's climate control washed over my skin, roughening the smooth gold. Hedera don't often get goosebumps, but I felt awful close for a moment. The air swirled uneasily. If there was a place to find scions during the day, this was it. Several shamans, each of them holding a staff, eyed the door uneasily. Three more ceremonials, males each with edged steel, gathered around a water cooler, sweat gleaming on tats and wide shoulders. A few skinlin and one magi were scattered around. At the far end of the room, a heavy bag shuddered as a double oddity, a male necromance with the trademark spatters of glitter in his aura, worked it low and dirty, throwing an occasional elbow, paying no attention to anything else. I took all this in with a glance. The building was an old warehouse, the floor fitted with shock gel and full-spectrum lights boiling down from the ceiling. Shafts of sunlight lanced down from windows overhead, and weapons were racked in stasis cabinets along two walls. Dueling circles were painted into the shock gel flooring. I finished my inspection with the mage scan and combat shielding.
Nice and deep, laid with skill and reinforced punctually. Lucas was right. This is a good place.
How long do we have? I slipped my bag over my head and hung it on a peg near the door next to several similar bags, all glowing to sight with several defensive charms.
Yeah.
I shrugged out of my coat, unbuckling my rig at the same time and hanging both up over my bag. I flicked my fingers, my obsidian rings sparking slightly. A keep charm blurred in the air, settling over my bag and coat to keep them safe from prying fingers. Not that I worried much. The very last place you'll usually find a pickpocket is in a spar hall. Few thieves are that suicidal.
Take as long as you need.
Jaframel's eyes finished their own circuit of the room.
It seems we will have an audience.
So, Jaframel's going to spar with me. I thought I'd have to find a scion partner and hold back.
Fine by me. I stepped out onto the shock gel, my right hand curling around the hilt. You going to use a blade?
Not unless it becomes necessary.
Is it just me, or does he sound amused?
I think I am equipped to handle one angry Hedera.
It was the first time he'd ever goosed me before a sparring match. It worked. I turned on my heel, my eyes coming up and meeting his. We stood like that, Demon and Hedera, his eyes burning green, a spatter of golden sparks popping from my rings.
I think I'm angry enough to give you a little trouble. I'm wound a bit tight.
Yeah, just a little tight. Just like Lucifer's a little scary.
He shrugged, spreading his hands.
I expected no less.
Are you sure you want to do this?
It was my last-ditch effort to give him a graceful way to back out.
I need to work off my adrenaline, sure, but I could spar with someone else, couldn't I?
Couldn't I?
No.
The power began to shift between us, straining. We were heading for something, some shape of an event already lying under the surface of the world. The assembled scions seemed to be holding their breath. Jaframel nodded.
Never one to use words when a single gesture will do.
I half-turned, walking sideways, keeping Jaframel in my peripheral vision as I headed for the center of the warehouse.
I don't just want a spar to work my nerves off. I want to make him pay for making me afraid. Gods, I'm not a very nice person. But I want to fight him. I have to fight him to prove I'm not afraid.
The realization shook me. I looked down at my hand wrapped around the sword hilt.
Dante, you cannot hurt me.
Oh, that does it. We'll just see about that.
I drew the blade free. Heat bled away from my skin. The demon-fed heat of a Hedera. It would make the climate control start to strain after a while. I saluted him with a shining length of steel. Blue fire began twisting in the metal depths. Runic patterns slipping like raindrops down a window, sparkling.
I must really be upset for my sword to be reacting this way. Usually, blessed steel doesn't react to his presence. It hasn't since he's fallen. But he's demon again, isn't he? And so much more powerful than I could ever be.
All right. If we're gonna do this, let's do it. Come and get me.
He paused for just the briefest moment before moving in, deceptively slow, his feet soundless against shock gel. My sword flicked. He slapped it aside. I used the momentum, whirling, shuffling back as he moved in. I darted forward and almost caught him. He actually had to take two steps back, bending slightly to the side to escape the arc of my blade. I held the scabbard in my left hand, resting it along my forearm to act as a shield. The sword kept moving, painting the air with blue flame. I learned long ago not to keep the blade still when sparring with him. He could take it away easier if I did. We circled, his hands actually, maddeningly, clasped behind his back again. His eyes burned green. His face wasn't set or angry. The only expression I could decipher was indifference with the faintest trace of amusement, his combat mask. Anger rose, was tightly reined in and stuffed to the back of my mind. If I got angry, this would be over far too soon. I needed to work this off, get the poison of adrenaline out of my system so I could think again. I moved in on him, slashing and feinting. He melted away from each strike with impossible grace. His hand blurred, his claws nearly tearing the sword from my grip. Sparks sprayed from my rings as our shields locked together, a psychic engagement as well as a physical one. He'd never done that before.
You're serious, aren't you?
You're holding back. Come at me, Dante. You feel I betrayed you in some fashion. Make me pay for it.
It didn't sting that he was right about my holding back, but it did sting that he guessed I wanted him to pay.
I should have come alone and contracted a cage, or taken a slickboard, goddammit.
I just want to spar, Jaframel.
That's not precisely a lie. I thought that was all I wanted until I got here and realized just how furious I still am.
Then spar. You are wasting time.
Oh, do I... bore you?
He batted the sword away again. We went back to circling.
Maybe you want something more interesting. A nice little androgyne copy of Lucifer to keep you warm instead.
Shit, I can't believe I just said that.
The only warning I got was Jaframel's eyes narrowing. He blurred toward me, and I saw the bright lengths of knives reversed along both forearms. He'd gone to blades without warning me.
Well, isn't this a day for surprises?